My friends, top administrators from the state's public colleges told legislators on the State Appropriations Committee on Wednesday they had deep concerns about the effect of funding cuts in Governor Malloy's proposed budget. And we are talking about colleges. And Mark Ojakian, he is the head man, the president of CSCU, and mentioned the word, it's equivalent to bankruptcy, the situation they're in, Dan.
Yep, and so Mark joins us. He's in our Touch Points Rehab interview chair. And Mark, welcome to Brad and Dan. How are you
today?
Good
morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you for having me back.
Mark, this it sounds like a dire situation, so let's start there. How about explaining it to our audience?
Well, it's a serious situation, Brad, and I think since the system was merged in 2011, I don't think people realized that we have a structural deficit in our system, and we can no longer take a look at just these Band-Aid approaches to how to solve it. So, you know, the governor's budget cuts us initially about $25 million, the cut could go anywhere between $25 and $83 million, depending on if there is an agreement or not between the administration and the state employee bargaining coalition. Because if there is no agreement, and the governor's budget assumes a $700 million savings from that agreement, then our system would see another $31 million cut. And with fringe benefits associated with that, the cut would be $83 million. So
wow.
It's anywhere between 25 or 83. I'm always a big believer in that you plan for the worst and hope for the best. So we are in a situation where we need to, as a system, come up with a restructured organization that continues to provide the affordable and accessible quality higher education that we provide to most of Connecticut residents. I think what people forget is that of the 85,000 students that we educate in our system, 96% are from Connecticut.
Mark Jakey.
So we are educating Connecticut students first and foremost. And I started out my testimony, gentlemen, by the simple two words, students first.
You know, Mark, there's something that has built up over the years that we've got to solve, but it doesn't seem like anybody, to tell you the truth, is coming up with something that we can do that will make it happen. We talk about it and we talk about it. It drives me crazy, and I know it does Dan too.
Well, Brad, I agree, and as the president of this system, it's my responsibility to, in fact, not only speak about it, but to do something about it. And so I'm going to be presenting in the spring a plan to my board, which will offer some options for how we might look differently in terms of organizational structure, with the focus continuing to be on student learning and student services. And access, because as you know, many of the students that attend our institutions are from, you know, working-class families or lower working-class families. They have to work to provide some income to their homes. They may be single parents. They have no vehicles. They rely on public transportation. So they have a lot of just life challenges in order to get to school and to complete their higher education. So we as a system need to be more fluid in how we offer these services so we can cut down on expenses, provide efficiencies, but continue to educate the, you know, 85,000 students that we do today and hopefully increase that amount.
Okay, so, Mark, here's a two-part question. The first part is, in other words, what you're saying, is this part of the major restructuring you're going to present in the spring that you're talking about?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely, because we can't, you know, when you say to institutions, you know, reduce your budgets by 5%, then usually what happens is there are instances where services that should be more readily accessible to students are not. So, for example, some of the Some of the cost savings measures over the past have been to close libraries during the week. Well, how does that help students stay in school and graduate? So we need to, as a system, act truly like a system, provide those system efficiencies where we can, figure out where we can integrate services into one place, administrative services, so we can free up faculty and staff on campuses actually to interact more with students. So it's not going to be easy. And as you know, when you take on efforts like this, nobody's ever happy. But if we don't do it, then you know, we face even more dire discussions. People asked me the other day, what is the worst case scenario? And I said, well, then the system would have to declare what's known as financial exigency, which means you have to start from scratch. Nobody ever wants to do that, because it's the equivalent in terms that I think about, quite honestly, is like bankruptcy, right? You declare bankruptcy,
and
then you start again. Well, who's going to want to go to a school that has just declared sort of the higher education equivalent of bankruptcy? We can do it without getting to that point, but it's going to take a lot of cooperation from everybody within the system, not only from people in the system office and the board, but people on campuses.
I don't want to steal some of your thunder for the spring, but might some of these options include more online courses?
Well, clearly online has to be part of the equation, and we have to do more with our online presence. As you know, we have Charter Oak State College,
right,
which is a gem in the nation in providing, you know, not only adult learning opportunities, but online courses. So I don't want to replace, you know, face-to-face instruction with online, but we can absolutely do more with online, and we can do more in terms of sharing online opportunities within the system. So folks can actually maybe complete a degree quicker because they took a course from home.
You know something, and let me just tell you this personally, Mark, and I've known you for a long time.
Yes.
Long time.
Yeah.
But this is leadership. These are the things, what you just said, that should be done statewide. You know, they better get some guys like you working on these ideas, and maybe we can get out of this thing.
Well, Brad, I think we all understand what kind of financial situation we are in. Now, don't forget, I was in the governor's office for 4.5 years, so I know how tough it is to put together a budget when you're facing, a deficit over $1 billion. So when I went before the committee, I said, I'm not here to complain, okay? I'm not a complainer. I'm here to point out what the implications would be for these cuts and what we are going to do to be part of the solution. We can't just sit back and do business as usual and expect the legislature and the governor to continue to fund us. We have to show that we're going to be able to adapt to the fiscal situation as well. And just always remember that this is about students and students first.
Talking with Mark Ojakian, president of the Connecticut State Colleges and Universities System. And Mark, you essentially answered what was going to be part of my next question, and that is, of course, you were in the governor's office. At one point, you were his chief of staff. Now, he comes out and he announces these major budget cuts. You're still on speaking terms with him, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, I respect the governor. The governor and I are very close friends. And we socialize together. We don't talk a lot about work, because now we have the luxury of talking about family and other kinds of things. So I know, though, how difficult this process is, and I know what he and all of his team go through to put this budget together. And listen, you put out a budget as a starting point, and it's a it starts the conversation. And people are never going to be happy with all of it, and some people are happy with none of it. But when you're trying to balance what's good for the people of Connecticut, what's good for the businesses, and what's good for the working folks, it's very difficult. So we're still on very good speaking terms. He just called me yesterday. We're going to attend a wedding together on Sunday.
Tell him to call us. We're trying to get him as a guest on this program, but it's very difficult. So the next time you talk to him, say, how about going on Brad and Dan?
I will try.
You know, Mark, it is interesting, though, because if the governor doesn't get the concessions from the union that he wants, does that mean layoffs in the colleges and university system?
What it will mean in his budget proposal is that that would relate in another $31 to $40 million cut to our system. Now,
wow.
You know, we would have to take, assuming that the legislature would pass a budget with that cut in it, which I'm not sure that would happen, but if it did, we would have to look at that, and clearly workforce reduction would have to be part of that equation. But when you look at it, when you look at reducing workforce in my system, you're looking at reducing folks that actually interact with students and actually not only teach students but provide them with the counseling services that they need to stay in school and ultimately graduate. That's the goal: get them in, keep them in, and help them graduate.
Say, Mark, thank you so much for being with us, the two of us, and I know we'll have updates. What Dan and I are trying to do with our radio audience is just keep them abreast of what's going on and the problems that we're having and maybe some of the ideas that can come to a good solution. So thank you again.
You're very welcome. Anytime, gentlemen. Have a great day.
You too, Mark. Take care.